Hi, and thanks for joining us. You're listening to a message from the People's Church. Whether you listen online, attend our local church, or both, you are a part of our vibrant community.
Good afternoon, church. It is good to be here, and it's a privilege and an honor to come and to share with you God's word this morning, but also to bring good news from the Middle East. Before I start, let me ask you a question. Just to test you regarding your Canadian citizenship. Do you know how many seasons do we have in Canada? Do you know? Two. Four? Some people are saying four. I think two. What I've been told, two. The first one is?
Winter.
And the second one is?
Construction.
Amen. So, and if you're like me, you want to get to your appointment at the last minute, you keep praying, God, I don't want to see any construction projects around. Is that right? And as soon as you're stuck because of construction, you will be upset, nervous, and praying, asking God, God, please, let us really finish all these projects as soon as possible.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. But actually, God is inviting all of us this morning to join him in a very special construction project of building a highway. And at the end of this sermon, I want to invite you every time, actually, you're stuck in traffic because of a construction project, I want you to pray to God and ask him to build a highway. And this is the title for my message this morning, Praying for a Highway. Praying for a Highway. I grew up in Egypt. I am married to a very beautiful Iraqi wife. Her name is Almas. We met in Lebanon at EBTS, where I am teaching at the moment. We have two boys. Timmy is 12 years old, and Nathaniel is 10. As an Egyptian, and especially after what we call the Arab Spring, many people, especially in Egypt, went back to Isaiah 19 to find hope and try to understand the political situation and the changes that are going on in the Middle East. And throughout history, the church has turned to the Bible, actually, to understand and to try to really figure out what's going on around them and to find hope in biblical passages like the one we just have read this morning. And again, the church in the Middle East, and it is not different. And in Egypt, I want to give you just two examples. When some Egyptian missionaries went to Iraq to worship with their brothers and sisters there, they saw a partial fulfillment of this highway prophecy. The church in Egypt has been praying, quoting Isaiah 19, the Egyptians will know the Lord. And this is how the church is carrying out its mission and its work in this region. Actually, when I heard all this interpretation, the question came to my mind, I really want to understand what this passage is trying to tell us. So, it's not my purpose this morning to examine this interpretation of Isaiah 19, try to figure out which one is right and which one is wrong. It is not my purpose. And I'm not trying to draw parallels between the political situation in the ancient time and the political situation of our days here in the Middle East. This is not my purpose. My goal is to share the prophetic message of this passage and draw some applications and some principles for us today as a church. And the main question I'm trying to answer this morning is that what is when the church lives through disorienting times? What is the role of the church? How the church should respond? What really helps the church and motivates the church to carry on its mission and to stay on track with God's future plan. And how we as a church can pray for our world, and especially for countries where war and unrest color its map. I would like to share 3 points this morning. The first one is trusting in the Lord. And the second is understanding God's future plan as a church. And the third one is being a blessing. Let us go to the first point, trusting in the Lord. Let me give you a little bit of a background about this passage. During the time of Isaiah, God's people experienced a time of turmoil, somehow similar to that of our days. Briefly, the Assyrian Empire was in its final period of greatness. And the people of God, Judah, during this time, was seriously threatened by this empire. However, rather than seeking the Holy One of Israel, seeking God's people, Judah, decided to go down to Egypt to seek its protection and to rely on its power. And if you ask why Egypt, it seems from our passage that the social, economy, political situation was somehow stable. But we need to remember, during this time also, there was a belief that behind every powerful nation is powerful gods with a small g. So, when Judah actually went to Egypt, what this really meant was that they are actually seeking the protection of its God. Not just seeking stability, not seeking protection, but they trusted the Egyptians' God instead of trusting the Holy One, the God of Israel. So the message of Isaiah, especially the first half of the chapter, is the title there, it's a prophecy against Egypt. Actually, yes, the first half is against Egypt, but the second half is a good promise, future promise to bless Egypt. But the first half of that chapter, God rebuking his people for putting their trust in Egypt, revealing why Judah shouldn't trust the Egyptians. Put it simply, because they are under the subject of God's judgment. And what currently leads Judah to Egypt will be soon demolished. How? Let us see together what the passage tells us. The first verse of this chapter will tell us, the idols of Egypt shall tremble in God's presence. The Egyptian gods will not stand before the presence of our God. So the question here to God's people, what is the point of trusting the Egyptians' God? They cannot stand in the presence of God. When it comes to the social and political situation, God will stir Egyptians against Egyptians, and they will come under a very powerful, harsh master and a mighty king. For help in such circumstances, the Egyptian king will seek idols, the spirits of the dead, the mediums. However, God will confuse their counsel. As we can see, the social and political stability in Egypt would be soon shaken. What about the economy? If you know a little bit about Egypt, you know that the river Nile is very important for this country, and it has been called the source of life. But the promise here, the source of life will be dried up. As a result, there will be no plants, no fishing, no cotton, no work really in the country. And every worker will be grieving and weeping over this crisis. What about the wisdom of the Egyptians? Well, when the council tried to give wisdom or advice to Pharaoh, what the prophet is saying is they really cannot do this. Actually, they are foolish and they will lead Egypt astray. So let us go back to the question. Yes, Egypt is stable now. Yes, you put your trust in Egypt. But actually, you putting your trust in the wrong place. As we can see during this disorienting time in the life of God's people, they went in the wrong direction. We have been living in disorienting times in the Middle East for some time now, and I'm sure all of you know that, and I don't need to explain how is the situation, because the media actually is doing a great job in this area. And you have all the bad news about the Middle East. But I hope this morning God will help us, or God will open our eyes to see some good news, how God is at work during this time. Well, but during this time too, some voices came from this region as they struggle to live in very tough situation, calling some Christians to flee the situation, turn to the West, and trying to seek protection and try to find shelter for their families, for their kids, and for their future. And sometimes you wonder, is that the right response? Is that what the church really called to do in disorienting times when everything around is changing? And I think here comes our role as a seminary. As a seminary, we believe that we are located in a very unique country and they have a very important role and a prophetic message to share with the church, not just in our region, but in the whole world. We are located, as I said, in a very unique country as Lebanon. And if you know a little bit about Lebanon, Lebanon enjoys much freedom when it comes to worship. And this will give Lebanon and our seminary the opportunity to have students who come from many countries in the region, from North Africa, Egypt, Sudan, South Sudan, Iraq, Syria, all these countries, students who come from a different religious background, who cannot really study in any other country in the Middle East, but in Lebanon. Well, to be honest, well, when those students come to our seminary, they are struggling as well. Some of them, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, were rejected by their families, by their communities. Some of them come to us and they didn't talk to their families for many, many years. Some of them, and actually all of them, came to the seminary because this is God's call on their life to follow him and to serve him. But as a human being, some of them wondering, well, if we are rejected by our communities, by our families, and the situation in the Middle East is not going that well, so what's the future, or how the future would look like? And here our message as a summary is that trust in the Lord. If God called you to follow him, to serve him, if this is God's call in your life, you need to trust the Lord. It is not the time to escape. It is not the time to look after your own security. This is not the time. This is the time to trust in God's calling in your life, to believe in him, to follow him, and to go back to your own country and to serve the Lord. Actually, it is one of our requirements, our students who come from many countries in the Middle East, to go back and to serve in their countries. Because we know and we believe that the most needed during this time in the life of the church, equipped leaders who can understand, on one hand, their communities, the struggle they have been through, but on the other hand, they can understand God's future plan. They can understand His desire to their communities and to their own people, and to believe in this dream, in this vision, and to go back and to serve the Lord. And this is what we are trying to do, to be a source of encouragement to our students to go back and to equip them, to prepare them to serve the church during this time. Our vision as a seminary is to see God glorified, people reconciled, and community restored through the church in the Arab world. And we accomplish this vision actually by serving the church, what exists to serve the church in this region, by equipping men and women for effective ministry. But if this is a message for our students, if this is a message for our churches, the message of hope and trusting in the Lord in disorienting times, what about us here? For us today, God's warning to His people to not trust other nations, this kind of a warning, encourages us to examine how we respond to the cry of Christians coming from many countries, including the Middle East and the MENA region. I think, regardless of how we respond, our message to those Christians must encourage them to trust in their God and to carry out their mission in the middle of this disorienting time. And I'm sure, or actually, knowing the church here for more than a couple of years and being in Lebanon for, again, a couple of years, seeing the kind of ministry you are involved in, and let me this morning affirm what you do as a church. You, the church, help many Syrian and Iraqi refugees, and this kind of ministry is bearing fruits. You are showing God's love in very practical way, and as a result, people fell in love with Jesus Christ and accepted Him as a Savior. And there are many, many stories, or this kind actually of stories, people accepting Christ, you will never hear in the media. And I'm sure most of you, when you talk about the Middle East, when you talk about the situation there, somehow it is maybe a negative conversation. But actually, God is at work. Would you say amen? God is at work. Through these tough times, people going, returning back to God, and they knew Him and accepting Him as a Savior in the middle of all this turmoil going on in the Middle East. But also supporting the work, you as a church, supporting the work of many churches, not just in Lebanon, but in the region, is key in order for these churches and leaders to stay and to carry out their mission. But I think one major role you play as a church is by supporting us, for example, as a family, in order to be able to train and encourage future potential leaders to go back and to serve in their communities. And here, I really want to say we are very thankful to you as a church for supporting our work, for praying for us on a regular basis. And we strongly believe that without your prayers, without your support, we will not be able to carry this mission. But however, when you send people like us back to the Middle East, this is very encouraging to the church first and to our students. As I said, when our students are struggling, yes, we spent a good time teaching in a classroom, but actually we spent a good time also mentoring a student and talking to them about their families, about their communities, and about their future plan and future ministry. And by being there, this is in itself a witness to these people to go back and to serve their own community. But I want to challenge you this morning to continue this kind of support, to continue praying for this region and to help Christians, even around here, those who are coming from all these countries where war and unrest is everywhere, to be a source of encouragement to these families and to stand behind them and to encourage them to trust their God in the middle of this disorienting and changing time in their life. The message to God's people and what actually history teaches us this morning is very clear. And I want you to hear this for your own personal life. What is stable and secure today will be unstable and insecure tomorrow. So, you never put your trust in human beings. You never put your trust in things or places. You put your trust in God, because He will never change. Amen. And this is the song, the Psalms calls all of us to sing this morning. In Psalm 18, verse 2, He's calling the whole church to sing this song. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and my salvation, my stronghold. This is our God, this is our song, and this is my prayer. To leave this place, you have faith and put your trust in God. The second point is to understand God's future plan. Understanding God's future plan. When we, all of us, go through tough times, the first thing we think about, and correct me if I'm wrong, how we can survive these situations. Or maybe we go to God and cry, God, we need your help in these tough times. Things are not going well, and we need you, God, to help us. Have you heard once God saying, I don't want you to worry about your situation. I have a different plan for you. Let us see what this passage is telling us. Rather than turning to Egypt, God actually is inviting His people and inviting all of us to understand His future plan and to live according to this plan. Remember, brothers and sisters, destruction will never be the end. What you see today in the Middle East will never be the end. God has a different plan. Yes, God is the one who strikes. But don't forget, He also the one who heals. In the second part of this chapter, God reveals to His people when and how this healing will take place. This healing will take place on that day. And this term is used in the Old Testament and in the Bible to describe God's future plan. What's going to happen at the end of God's acting in history with His people? This healing will appear in many various forms, as we have seen. First, in verse 18, Egypt will turn to the Lord. The Lord will make Himself known to the Egyptians. Egypt, or there will be an altar and a memorial pillar in Egypt dedicated to God. Actually, five cities in Egypt will speak the language of Canaan. They will worship God with the same language God's people are worshiping Him. Egypt will experience an exodus as God's people did when they were in Egypt. If you remember the story in Exodus, God's people were oppressed under the hand of the Egyptians. They cried to God. And when they did, God heard their prayers and came down to save them. Here we are seeing the same picture, but the opposite. Actually, the Egyptians will experience an exodus as God's people did when they were in Egypt. And the result, actually, of this Egyptian exodus is that the Egyptians will know the Lord, and this knowledge will transform their heart and their minds. So let us back to the question. Why Judah? Why God's people turned to Egypt? While actually Egypt and the Egyptians, and not just the Egyptians, as we are going to see at the end, not just the Egyptians, but many people will turn to the God of Judah. But maybe the question is still in Judah's mind. Would this solve the problem between Assyria, Egypt, Israel, and all these countries? And God is saying, the end has not come yet. God has a construction project yet to be finished, the building of a highway between these ancient hostile enemies. A highway actually is a favorite term in this book for the removal of separation and bring unity and peace between all these countries. This highway will lead all these nations to worship the Holy One together, the God of Judah. The message, as an Old Testament scholar says, and here I quote, "Do not make a highway to Egypt in order to escape Assyria. Your only hope and Egypt's hope is in your gods who can break down the barriers." I have asked at the beginning, what really helps the church, motivates the church to carry out its mission in tough times? And the answer is right here. The answer is to understand God's plan, to understand His desire, to understand what the Bible is telling us about how God is working and how God is at work. And during this time, what we need to do as individuals, as a church, just to bow down, to pray to God, to seek His face, to ask Him to open our minds and our hearts to understand what He is doing, to go back to His work and to say, God, we're going to listen. We're going to understand. And we're going to obey your call on our life. This should be our hope and our prayer during this disorienting time. So this is your homework for the week to come. Every time you drive your car, going on the highway, seeing a construction plan, and you're stuck there, you have nothing to do, just to pray and ask God to build a highway between hostile countries. Ask God to accomplish His plan, to bring peace and to bring unity in these countries. Remember to pray not just for the Middle East, but many other countries, as I said, where war and unrest color its map. Well, when I look sometimes at the situation in Syria, Yemen, Libya, Egypt, and you name it, I sometimes wonder whether there will be a day when a highway is built between these hostile countries. Indeed, this is a future plan, I know that. But since it is God's plan to build a highway, the church, for the time being, you and I, should carry on its mission with this dream and vision in mind and in heart. And actually, this what really helps the church. God is at work, so the church is at work. The church is seeing where God is working. The church is following God where He is working. I personally, and let me go back to my summary, and this is a very important message. I personally witnessed in the last couple of years how many of our students at the middle at the seminary will come back. As I mentioned before, they are struggling. They are having conflict with their families, And the first thing we'll try to do to encourage these students to reconcile with their families, to call them, to try to go back and visit. And some of them actually came, and they haven't talked to their family for 3 and 4 years. After first year, we'll try to encourage them just to call and to say hi. Second year, maybe we'll try to encourage them to help their families to understand that what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Not being a Christian, because being Christian as a term, it comes with its own baggage. And unfortunately, sometimes it is a negative concept for some people, for some communities, and for some countries. And as I said, I have seen many of our students left the seminary reconciled with their family, reconciled with their communities. They are serving the Lord now back home, and they have a very fruitful ministry. This is not the only thing we do to bring peace in the Middle East. The Institution of Middle Eastern Studies actually has a huge role to play in this. The vision of this institution is to bring about positive transformation in thinking and practice between Christians and Muslims in the Middle East and beyond. I'm sure you have been following the news, as I said, and you always see this conflict between Christian and non-Christians. And I think by trying to bring all these people together and to bring peace and talk about peace, about unity, about how we can understand each other, about how we can get along, how we can live together. This is a very important message as a seminary while trying to spread throughout our region. But the question then, if this is God's plan, he said, is that right? He said, I will make myself known to Egyptians. I will build a highway. The question maybe come to your mind, so how? And do we have a role to play in this? The third point I want to leave with you is being a blessing. And this is how God is accomplishing his plan. By using his church, by using you and I to be a blessing to others. Actually, this is very striking and very strange, as I said, because when the church, when we as individuals go through hard time and lots of things are changing around us, the first thing we ask and we pray, how can we survive? And when God tells you, well, I don't want you to think about this, but I'm going to use whatever you have, and I will make you a blessing. You think like, what? Seriously? To be a blessing during this time? I have just a little to live on. I have maybe little energy to continue my ministry. Maybe I'm struggling with my family. God, I really can't be a blessing. I just want to survive. And he would say, no. I want you to be a blessing regardless of what you are going through. While Judah was working hard to survive in the middle of this political turmoil between Assyria and Egypt, God reminds his people and us of the purpose of their existence. When he first called their father, Abraham, remember the promise to Abraham? And the promise was, you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing in the midst of the whole earth. And here God is telling their people, don't forget what I have promised Abraham. This is your vision. This is what I have in you, what I have for you in mind, to be a blessing. Indeed, the most needed voice, breaking through in times of instability and insecurity, is God's voice. It reminds us of our identity, who we are, and it reminds us of God's call on our lives. This calling to be a blessing is actually a challenging one. In a region where war and unrest color most of its map, I think the church in the Middle East may need to sense that the church is existed to be a blessing during this difficult time. And instead of having or being afraid, instead of running away because of fear, and we need to remember always, fear is anti-gospel. The gospel teaches us to trust God and not to fear human beings or any situation we live through. As a seminary, we speak into these situations, trying to encourage the church back home and here to look once again at the map of the MENA region with God's dream in mind for a highway to be built between these hostile countries, to have peace and reconciliation, people reconciled, not just to God, but also with each other. Then, and only then, the church is able to ask the most important question. What role do we have to play in God's plan, whether by staying or even some people like us by returning? This is God's plan, and you, us, have a role to play in this. Well, I finished my sermon this morning, but what I want to remind you is of our role as a church. If you personally have been going through a tough time, if a church like our church, you're a church, seeing everything is changing around them, and you wonder how we should respond, first, put your trust in the Lord your God. Second, try to understand God's plan for your life, for your future, for His church from the Bible. And finally, always remember, you are called to be a blessing. And I want to just close with this picture in mind. In that day, what God is saying, when you, God's people, will be a blessing, what will happen? Here, what is happening? The Lord Almighty will bless the people, saying, "Blessed be Egypt, my people." Egypt, my people. And you never hear this term, but for God's people only. Assyria, my handwork, and Israel, my inheritance. I want to leave you with this final dream. When we have people coming from every nation, and as the pastor told me this morning, here in the church, we have 123 nationalities in this building, in this place. And this will give just us a glimpse of what it looks like when that day comes. But actually, John, in his final book, Revelation, is trying reflecting back on Isaiah and about this idea of peace and unity, and people come from everywhere to worship our God. And I want to leave you this morning with this passage, Revelation chapter 7. It says, and John is telling the church, telling you and I, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one can number from every nation, 123 and maybe more, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and four living creatures. And they all fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen." blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this message from the People's Church. Our desire is to proclaim the Word of God and to see lives transformed. To find more like this, or if you'd like to contact us, visit thepeopleschurch.ca.